Good morning and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Curtis Stokes and Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guide and Magazine, Green Turtle Bay Resort, Marina Life, Richardson's Map Tech, Passage Maker Troller Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you, whether you are dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit us at our website, www.greatloop.org. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Everyone, as Beth said, this is AGLCA, America's Great Loop Cruisers Association weekly radio show. With us today are Steve and Beth, and I am Janice Cromer. I'm the director. For those non-members listening out there, this Great Loop is actually a continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, goes into Canada, comes down our river system, and goes across the Gulf and back up the East Coast. Our association is basically comprised of people who share the sense of adventure and curiosity about the Loop. Our primary purpose is to give out information and enhance the overall experience. Our website is www.greatloop.org. We'd love for you to visit and become a member. And don't forget to visit us on Facebook. Our guest host this week is AGLCA Admiral sponsor, Curtis Stokes, principal of Curtis Stokes and Associates. Curtis will give us tips on buying the perfect loop boat or any boat. During our broadcast, please feel free to call in and ask questions or give us comments. The toll-free number is 877-497-1815. Curtis, thanks so much for helping us out today, and we're going to start with a bunch of questions for you.
Sounds great.
Thanks,
Janice.
How does one start the boating process and doing it properly?
Well, I tell my students and my clients eventually that the first thing, before, let's say, you even contact a broker, I would recommend looking through magazines, yachting magazines, online from Yacht World to even the AGLCA classified ads, and walking around public marinas that don't have gates and just looking at boats. And the very first place to start is the exterior styling and seeing what works and doesn't work for you. It's kind of like buying a house. You know, if you drive along and you see a house with very poor curb appeal, are you really going to be happy living in that house? So the boat has to have curb appeal, which is personal to you, and that's where you start. Then you can get into thinking about layout and what I call toys, what you want on the boat, from things like water makers to jet skis to tender to whatever it is. And then, of course, you have a budget. You have what you think you might need in speed, and whether you want to do trawler speeds or motor yacht speeds. What kind of range? Are you going to cruise to Bermuda, or are you going to do just the Great Loop or just local? Then you get into draft issues with the intercoastal and up in the Trent Severn and that, you know, Georgian Bay area. Height, certainly height is a big issue with the Great Loop. We constantly talk about, you know, the height restrictions on some of the bridges. And let's say you have a dock at home and there's a present dockage restriction on size. So these are all things to think about. And then one of the final things I talk to people about until we really get into details is the word compromise. And there really isn't a perfect boat out there that has absolutely everything on the list that you email me that's part of your search parameters. There's going to be something on every boat that's not quite on your list. So you really have to be willing to compromise and prioritize to find the right boat that's going to work for you. And then once you've got a decent idea of all of that, even just an inkling, that's when I recommend that you contact a broker and start getting some help.
Ted, it's just a question. I would imagine it's critical that the captain, admiral, and first mate agree on that list before they send it to you.
Rarely do they agree when I get to meet my clients. That's a work in progress. Occasionally, everybody's on the same page right up front, but it's okay to disagree because that's part of the compromise. And I always see it work together where one says, you know, that's actually not that big of a deal to me. And it usually is related to a down or up galley or an engine room access or flybridge steps, that type of thing. But most couples do work together and come to a compromise.
Okay, now tell us more about the process of what is exactly a buyer's broker?
Well, you've heard me mention this previously in some of my seminars. I'm very pro, very strong opinion on how to select a broker. I feel that you should hire a buyer broker, someone that acts more as a consultant rather than a salesperson who's just trying to sell you whatever boat happens to be in front of you. You know, the job of the listing broker is to work for the seller in getting that particular boat sold. I constantly see clients that come to me who are completely confused. They've picked up the phone, they've called five different listing brokers from ads in magazines or in Yacht World or some other online site, and they're getting all kinds of input from different brokers, and each broker is trying to sell them their particular listing. And if you go out and find the right broker who will work for you, and it's an interview process, you know, don't just pick somebody because you met them at a boat show or have a nice personality. You want to find out, do they really understand what you're looking for? Do they listen more than they talk? Are they willing to travel and preview boats for you and give you their feedback? You know, are they willing to work outside of a local area? Because you can buy a boat pretty much anywhere on the loop and start from that location if that's going to work for you. So you want a consultant, and it doesn't cost you anything to hire a buyer broker. The buyer broker is compensated by the seller and the listing broker. So it really is a benefit to have someone working on your side, and they will help you get a better buy than just going to the listing broker and hoping the listing broker will reduce their commission to the seller to get a lower price. You know, get someone on your side. You can even hire a consultant like Steve D'Antonio or a surveyor from the technical aspect, but hopefully your broker has experience in the technical side also.
Okay, now I think I fully understand the difference between a selling agent and a broker. That's great. Once you hire the broker and you think you have the right boat, what's the next step?
Well, you've searched around and you found the right boat and you're now going to make an offer. Every broker you work with should have a standard purchase and sale agreement that has been produced by one of the associations, the Yacht Brokers Association of America or the Florida Yacht Brokers Association or the California Yacht Brokers Association. They're all pretty similar but slightly different just because of the different associations. But use that and submit your offer and negotiate it. Once you get it under contract, then you schedule a survey, sea trial, and the haul out is part of the survey. The buyer pays for the survey. I always, and I strongly recommend, that you hire both a hull surveyor and an engine surveyor. There are hull surveyors that will tell you they're capable of handling everything in the engine room. They may or may not be, but that's a lot for one person to handle in a day. It's worth the extra money. Spend it and get your due diligence done properly before you spend all that money on a boat. The survey process, you know, will last about a day, depending on the size of the boat. And by the end of the day, you will know from a verbal conversation with your surveyors just what's wrong and what's right with the boat and whether it's really worth proceeding. You'll do oil samples, so you'll get oil analysis reports back in a few days. And then when you sit down with their written reports and the oil analysis reports, then you can really think about, you know, are we paying the right price with input from your broker? Are we buying the right boat? Do we have any problems here that we need the seller to contribute in fixing? And if you get to the point where everything's acceptable, then you accept the boat. I always recommend accepting it in writing and having the seller sign the acceptance also. I have seen cases, not many, just occasionally in the past, where a seller got a higher offer and tried to argue that they never got the acceptance because there was no signature on it. So just a simple act of getting the seller's signature on the acceptance.
Once you have acceptance is basically a binding contract at that point.
Exactly, yep. And
okay,
so
can you tell me how the surveyors are paid? Is it a percentage of the sale price? Is it a flat rate? What can you expect to spend on a good survey?
Usually it's a price per foot. I see anywhere from $15 all the way up to $24 per foot, depending on the area where the boat is. It is a wide variance, but geographically, surveyors charge differently. Engine surveyors charge about the same amount, but it's not by the foot. It's usually a flat fee. And there could be travel costs involved if you bring a surveyor in from outside of the area. I never recommend taking a broker's recommendation on a surveyor. Sometimes, unfortunately, there are friendly surveyors. You want to pick your own surveyor. Certainly, you can take input from the broker, but you can go to the Society of American Surveyors, SAMS, SAMS.org, and look at their list of surveyors. Interview the surveyor. Ask for a copy of the survey, an example of a survey. Ask them about the process. How do they go about surveying the boat? That will lead you to ask more questions. Ask for references. I mean, this is all about doing your due diligence. You know, you have to do it on your own. You can't rely on a broker, a lawyer, or anybody else. You really have to ask these questions to make sure you're making the right decision.
Curtis, the question I have is, do you have clients who are resistant to doing a survey?
Yes. I have some clients who, some have great experience, and I give them credit. They just want to keep their costs down. They think they can handle it themselves. But to get insurance, you're going to have a pre-purchase survey. And as many boats that I'm on day in, day out, and as much experience as I have, I still have surveyors who catch things that I don't see, and vice versa. You know, one of the benefits of having an engine surveyor and a hull surveyor is that you get two sets of eyes in an engine room and through the boat. And I've quite often seen an engine surveyor turn to a hull surveyor and say, "Did you just see that?" You know, or vice versa from the hull surveyor. So it really is beneficial to hire the right surveyors, pay the money, do your due diligence, look at it as insurance. You pay an insurance premium every year in case something happens. You're paying a surveyor to hopefully find anything that's wrong with the boat in a short period of time before you hop on at a large sum of money, and then it's on your dime.
Thank you. We're going to break for a quick commercial, and then we'll pick up again. We're ready, Beth.
Okay.
Curtis Stokes & Associates is a yacht brokerage company that specializes in great loop capable boats. Curtis Stokes is a supporter of the AGLCA at the commander level. If you're looking to buy or sell a Great Loop veteran from a trusted and knowledgeable broker, visit the company on the web at curtisstokes.net, email Curtis at curtisstokes.net, or call anytime, 954-684-0218.
Thank you. Okay, Curtis, let's get started back again. You've surveyed the boat and you've made your decision. What is the next step? How do you get this whole deal finished?
The next step is hiring a documentation company. Now, here's another one similar to what Steve asked. There are people that prefer, you know, would prefer not to hire a surveyor, and there are people that would prefer to handle the documentation themselves, the closing. I highly recommend against that. I see it all the time in forums where someone argues that it's a very simple process, they did it themselves, and there's no issue. I promise everyone that about 2 to 3 times a year, I see problems with documentation caused by people doing it themselves. Hire a professional documentation company who will do an abstract of title, which is a lien search, like in a home or in real estate. And they'll go through the Coast Guard Documentation Center and look for any liens, hidden liens, any flaws. Quite often we will find that the hull ID number on the hull does not match the Coast Guard Documentation Center's information. We also have problems quite often with trusts where, let's say, someone has passed away and the bank and the Coast Guard have not been notified properly and the trust changed. So there are all these little hidden problems, but the documentation company will create the bills of sale, a personal seller's guarantee of title. That's another issue I always recommend, that in the contract it calls for the beneficial owner of the vessel to sign personally that they guarantee the title, because if you're buying from a corporation, especially an offshore corporation, and that corporation is closed down, there's no one to go after. So keep that in mind, and they will create that document for the signature of the seller. They will handle, once they have all the documents, they will then notify the broker, okay, I'm happy with everything. We have all the documents signed by the seller. We're ready to close. Then and only then should the broker release the funds to the seller. Once the seller receives the funds, you own the boat. So we go to insurance and make sure that you have insurance in place.
Okay, I think you've explained pretty well the process of buying your boat. I hope everybody out there who's looking for the perfect boat finds it. I recommend you go to Curtis. He'll help you. But, Curtis, tell us about the state of the market. How difficult is it to find your boat? How difficult is it to buy a boat?
It's an interesting market, to say the least. We're in interesting times, certainly. The boat market, a lot of people feel that it's a buyer's market, and in some cases it is. But there are also cases, depending on what you're looking for, where it's not a buyer's market. I challenge my clients to look on the market for, let's say, a 66-foot Choi Lee. There aren't any on the market right now. But if you're looking for a 42 Grand Banks, there are over 200 of them on the market. So it really depends on what you're looking for. A lot of people have bought some very nice boats at very low prices. They've gotten some great deals. There are a lot of owners who have come to us and said, I'm not selling my boat for what this market will bear, so I'm going to keep using my boat and enjoy it and hope that the market rebounds. So we are seeing some areas of the market where there's not much inventory. I have some clients now that are very frustrated because we can't find the right inventory. We can see plenty of boats that are in very rough condition or are overpriced for whatever reason, but we're having a hard time finding the right boat for these particular people. So it, don't assume it's a buyer's market. I also have a lot of clients that come to me and say, well, I'm told to offer 20% off asking price. My response is, well, if a boat is 30% overpriced and you offer 20% below asking price, you just overpaid by 10%. You need a broker who will give you honest and information on the value in today's market, and this comes from comparables. So the broker should be showing you what has sold for what price when to really be able to tell, you know, where the pricing is today, not just what boats are on the market. Anybody can see that in Yacht World or, you know, what the asking prices are, but you need to see what boats are actually selling for. We've actually sold some boats for full asking price recently. If the boat is priced right, there's no reason, if I sit down with a client, a buying client, and show them the comparables, why we can't justify paying what the seller is asking. You don't have to buy a boat for half price, and the people making half price offers are still out there looking for boats. They haven't bought anything from what I've seen. So it is a strange market, but there are some good buys out there, and there are some very realistic sellers. But you really have to do your due diligence and have a broker who's going to search out, not just in one neighborhood, but everywhere looking for you. The financing market is difficult, just like it is everywhere else. The banks are skittish. There's no question about it. One of my pet peeves in the marine lending industry right now is that we have a number of underwriters who either through lack of experience or laziness are using the Buck Guide or the Powerboat Guide or the one of these manuals that gives you valuation to determine the actual valuation for the loan to value. The problem is that these guides are not using sold comparables. They're actually using a set formula of depreciation. So if you looked at the value in one of these guides of a 1981 42 Hatteras LRC, let's say, it's showing something like $50,000, which is ridiculous because the last one just sold for $115. I sold one for $125 a couple years ago. Another one sold for $125. I sold one for $118. When you look at those sold comparables, that's really what the boats are worth. So you're not going to buy one for $50,000 unless it needs a tremendous amount of work, and I guarantee you, you're going to end up with more than the market value in the boat by the time you get done. So buying older boats is very, very difficult in financing them. The banks want a loan on newer boats, which is another one of my pet peeves, because the older boats have reduced their depreciation dramatically and are a better, more stable investment for these banks than the newer boats, but that's their business. But there is money to be lent.
Don't understand boats.
Yeah, and there is money to be lent, Janice. I mean, they do have money. I have marine lenders calling me all the time. So if you have good, solid credit and you're buying a reasonably new boat from the late 80s, preferably in the 90s, and newer, there is financing available. You just, in the older boats, you may not get as much financing as you want. You may have to come up with more cash.
Now, what about insurance? We've had a lot of discussion forum postings that people are having a hard time getting insurance, especially on the older boats.
Absolutely, and that's another one of the tough ones. You know, that the insurance underwriters look at these the age of the boat in the survey, or if they even look at the survey, and determine that it's not a good risk. And I disagree with that. I was on a boat yesterday, a 1986. 47 Marine Trader that I just listed. Steve D'Antonio, who you probably know, is a Marine consultant, and he worked with these sellers. They spent a fortune on this boat, upgrading literally everything. This boat is practically a brand new boat. Jill and I were on board. We were just gobsmacked at the condition of the boat. It's gorgeous. You can buy a Marine Trader for $120,000, similar Marine Trader. We're asking $299.9 on this boat. They have over $800,000 invested in the boat. You have to see it to believe it. There are boats like this where sellers have taken great pride in their boat. They've gone in and really renovated the whole boat. It's not original equipment. So the insurance, you know, underwriter and the financing underwriter should be looking at the survey details, because this boat surveys out an valuation of $340,000. So to me, this is a great buy, and it's a beautiful boat, turnkey. You don't have to go into a boatyard and spend a fortune turning the boat around. So for those who are looking for a turnkey boat, you can find a boat like this. You may not get all the financing you want, because technically it's a 1986 boat, but it was completely rebuilt in the late 2000s. So insurance is a little tricky, yes, and you do have to have experience. I recommend everybody put together a resume, a nautical resume. I'm not advocating anyone lie, but certainly expand on any experience you have from whether it's a center console or, you know, a sailing class that you took. All of that will help. And then, of course, I always recommend training. Whether it's going to the Coast Guard auxiliary classes or the going to Chris and Elise Caldwell's training, trawler training, or C-Sense, there's some great sources of training out there, and put this on your resume, and that will help you get insurance. Then you have the shopping. You have to reach a couple of different insurance sources. The problem is with the insurance business that once you contact an independent insurance broker and they contact someone like Travelers and Ace and Markel, other independent brokers are locked out of that market. So it does you no good to go to two or three independent insurance brokers unless those brokers have different markets, because they won't be able to go to the same market the other broker went to. I always recommend checking Boat US. They're usually more expensive, but you have to read the fine detail, too. They might actually cover more. Insurance is pretty personal. You know, people need different coverages for different areas and different needs, financial needs. So you really have to do your due diligence in this area. We have some great insurance brokers we work with that will explain everything in layman terms or honest, And I refer to them all the time and let the experts explain everything. So, but you do have to spend some time working on insurance, not at the last minute.
Thank you. I would recommend you go to our webpage at www.greatloop.org. On the right-hand column, we have our sponsor roster. We have many, many insurance brokers who are sponsors of AGLCA. And
Absolutely.
Both Captain Chris Yacht Services and CSENS, who provide training, are also sponsors. Curtis, is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
Yeah, life's short. Go out and buy a boat and go enjoy life.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much, Curtis. I have good
okay.
news. We've invited Curtis to come back next week and talk about the opposite, selling your boat. So Curtis will be back next Friday at 10 a.m. on Selling Your Boat. Visit us on Facebook. We're going to be having some new features on our Facebook page that you'll enjoy. And I want you all to know that in the last couple of weeks, we've had over 1,300 listeners. So our blog radio is really growing. We would encourage all people out there who are not members to become members. And our shows are archived at our webpage also. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye. Thank you, Curtis.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.